It's good doing things from the past, isn't it? Did you notice the very old-fashioned thing we sang in that song that Susan did? Milkman, the milkman singing. We all had a milkman once, didn't we? You know, as you get younger, you realise, man, people had milkmen. You know, milkman actually came to your door because that's what it was, wasn't it? And we all knew the milkman. He was sort of the local fella that everybody knew. And if you didn't have United Dairies, you had the Co-op or whatever. And they used to bring broken biscuits. Do you remember the broken biscuits they used to bring? Oh, they were lovely, weren't they? And very cheap. We used to have loads of them. And the kids used to go in and open a box up because always the pink chocolate ones at the top. And they'd eat them quick before I got to the box. And so, lovely it was. But a milkman, yeah, I remember the past. But there's no guesses today what service this is, because we got it up there. Mary did that beautiful sign. Give her a round of applause. It's wonderful, isn't it? And but today, of course, with no... it's very colourful harvest, isn't it? That's why I wore this suit, by the way. Because, you know, I've been wearing this suit to school, and I say to the kids, well, the trees used to be green, but now they're yellow and red and orange and all sorts, you know. And of course, we've got no excuse today. We can go on the internet, can't we, and look up what it's like in America. Because in America and Canada and so on, it's really beautiful, isn't it? And they've got these amazing trees, the way they change. But yeah, it's a very colourful time. And... you can see from there, look, I just dragged up a few pictures, and it's colourful, isn't it? It's so colourful, it's lovely when we've got, that's what I did, a colourful word, how about that? Colourful word with a black paintbrush, I like that. Harvest is so important. What's harvest all about? It's about, you know, all the things we get, actually, it's about saying thanks, isn't it? And saying thanks is really important. I say to the kids at school sometimes, what are the magic words? And they go, abracadabra. No. Please and thank you. Yeah? It gets you amazing places if you go, please and thank you. We learn that in life, don't we? Please, can you help me? Man, people help you. But yeah, so thanks is such an important thing. And what do they call it in America? What do they call harvest in America? Oh, yeah, thanks. But if this works, yeah, Thanksgiving we have in America. And it's such a big thing, it's bigger than Christmas. Maybe it should be like that here. It's quite a small thing here, isn't it, harvest? You hardly notice it. But in America, you don't miss it, because you gather all your family and they have a day off and so on. And I don't think the turkeys like it too much, because they kill a lot of turkeys at that time, but it's like our Christmas. But the Thanksgiving is such an important time, because they go, man, look at all the stuff we've got. And it's so important, isn't it, to say thanks. And somewhere in here, I've got this, and I'm going to make this move on. But what do we say thanks for? Well, yeah, obviously, we say thanks for food. Yeah. And when I was a kid, we tried to get one made. Maybe one day we will. You remember those harvest loaves I used to do at the front of a church? And it used to look like a sheaf. I used to love that as a kid, because the baker, local baker, would make this sheaf looking thing, and it had all the stalks down here and the top bits, and then they used to put it right in the middle of the harvest festival food, and it used to look amazing. And I always wanted to eat it as a kid, but my dad said it doesn't taste very nice, because they cover it with stuff and it's just for show. But it's bread. It's made of bread. And so food's really important. And you remember, because we didn't get that, I thought I'd remind you of an old advert. Do you remember the old Hovis advert? It's 50 years old. I heard it on the news. The old Hovis advert, if you look it up on YouTube, I reckon it's the most iconic advert ever. Do you remember it? The little boy pushing his bike up the hill, and this music goes on with it, and the music goes on, and you remember the music? And he pushes it up the top, and it talks about this little boy, and he says it felt like a mountain, and he gets to the top and he rides all the way down. At the end of the advert, what do they say? Hovis, as good today as it's always been. Yeah, and food is great, isn't it? Food is great, and it's as good today as it's always been. Who likes eating food? We all like eating food. You know, if you go out for a good meal, you tell people about it. I was in today, Daniela said to me, she went out to a really good meal with her friends at work. And she was telling me all the stuff they'd eaten and the stuff they drank. And it was lovely. She said, oh, such a lovely meal. And of course, eating's lovely, isn't it? Isn't it difficult to lose weight? Because eating's so nice. I just love eating peanuts in the evening. And then, oh, well, then we go on to the chocolate. You know, and then, oh, do you want to have a cup of coffee, Susan? Yeah, let's have cheese and biscuits before we go to bed. You know, it's so difficult to lose weight, isn't it? Because food's so amazing. My mum used to say that. My mum used to say, it's such an amazing thing that God gives us the things we like doing. He makes it nice. You know, we've got to eat. If you don't eat, you die. But, you know, we love doing it. So we eat more and more, you know, and it's easy to overindulge, isn't it? And I'm pressing it. Oh, no, no, no. And look, that's what we're saying. We're saying thanks so much. And what does the Bible say in Psalms? It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, well, I did a quiet time on this the other day. It came up in our readings. And this reading said, it's psychologically impossible to be thankful and stressed at the same time. That's good, isn't it? So keep being thankful and you won't get stressed. Because it's psychologically impossible to be both, yeah? It's when we drop in and forget to say thank, then it gets stressful. Okay, little exercise, rather than me do all the talking. Talk to each other for a minute. What are you thankful for? Think of some things you're thankful for. You can talk to each other, don't have to talk to me. The red light's gone off. Oh, it's still there. Anyway. Okay then. We've got so much to be thankful for, so keep on being thankful. I don't know about you, we say grace at home, and I've done it since I was a kid. I think it's really important to say grace. And sometimes I start eating and Susan says, we haven't said grace yet. It's important to thank God because our food comes from God, doesn't it? I said to the kids at school, we need the sun, don't we? Yeah? Yeah? Need the sun, but also what else do we need? We need rain, yeah. We need rain. And do you know, we need lightning because the lightning strikes the earth about 400 times a day all around the earth apparently, and that brings nitrogen to the ground, and you can't take in nitrogen, it has to go into the ground and then you eat it out of your food. So even lightning and storms are really important, and so there's so much God is doing that we hardly notice, yeah, and exactly what we talked about in the worship. There's so much to thank God for. And I'll tell you what I thought of. We brought this. I mean, we probably all brought some or given some money or whatever. But the thing is this, none of us is going without because we brought that. This is spare, isn't it? Yeah? Nobody's not going to have breakfast because they brought Weetabix, yeah? We'll all have breakfast tomorrow. Do you remember Onesimus, when he started getting supported by us and OAC, he said, I'm going to be able to feed my kids three times a day. Up to now, I've only been able to feed them once a day. And he cried when he said that, because he felt like bad for him, you know, for his kids, that he couldn't feed them properly. So there's so many people, and he's rich relatively. He lives in Nigeria, but there's other places that are even poorer than that. Yeah, where's that place that Sue's going? Tanzania. Tanzania's got a drought at the moment. There's many people right on the poverty line there. Just about making it, and we haven't got that. We've got so much to thank God for. Sorry. Yeah. So we need to pray for rain, but what do we do when it rains? We go, oh, blinking, heck, it's raining. Yeah, we moan, don't we? We moan because it's raining. But actually, rain's so important. It's desperately important, and because we can all harvest every day for us, isn't it? We go to Tesco's. You can go to Tesco's, buy what you like any time of the year, you know. But of course, in the old days where this came from, yeah, in the days that's why Thanksgiving came, most people were farmers. And of course, if you got a harvest, you were thankful because you're going to be able to live. But of course, since the industrialised society, we forget about harvest. Interestingly enough, we ought to pray for farmers. Do you know farmers? There's massive suicide rate amongst farmers. Did you know that? because it's a very lonely job. You're out there on your own. There's a lot of pressure. You're running the thing. It's a big business. You've got the pressure, and you're out there on your own for hour after hour. Many, many people. I remember a friend of mine. Just a quick aside, he used to go on holiday down in Cornwall and stayed on a farm. And he said, oh man, if only I had his job, he used to say, when he used to come home. Oh, what a wonderful job being out there all the time. That guy committing suicide. He said, why did he do that? And everything, you know? But it's a very lonely, hard job. So food, such an important to thank God for. Yeah, when was the first mention of harvest? Yeah, a little clue up here, little clue. There was a guy, his name began with N, yeah? He was told to build a boat, Noah, yeah? This is when the first harvest was mentioned. Did you know that? Where did the ark end up resting? Mount Ararat, right? And apparently they think they might have found it. You look it up on the internet. They might have found it. They found this shape on the ground, obviously thousands of years old. And some people say it is the ark, some people say it's not, some people say it's a formation. That's exactly, just so happens, it's exactly the same size as the ark in the Bible. And you can see an aerial picture of it. It's amazing, this sort of bit of ground that looks like some sort of boat. And there it is on Mount Ararat. And of course, when it landed eventually, and Noah came out with his wife, and how many other people? Hang on, let's get on. It was six other people, yeah? Yeah, three of Noah's sons and their wives, and there they were. And so there was all these people, but they were the only people who survived, yeah? Because they did what God said. And Noah, so it wasn't only two animals on the ark, there was a few more because there was some to sacrifice. And he did a sacrifice to God to say, thanks for what? Thanks for life, because everybody else had died. I mean, that was worth thanking God for, wasn't it? They were the only ones that had survived. And at that time, let's flip the next thing on, if it works this time. There we are. This is what God said to Noah. He put something in the sky. What did he put in the sky? I could try and lay on and be bald here at this point, but and I could do it. But here we are. Yep. What did he put in the sky? He put a rainbow in the sky, and it may well have been the first rainbow, because the sun came out and it was still damp and so on. So somehow a rainbow appeared in the sky. Maybe it was still raining in the air. And this rainbow appeared. And what did God say? He said, even though the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things, and he'll keep his inclination, keeps doing the wrong thing, I'll never do this again. I'll never flood the earth again. And he said, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. And that's true. It's never ceased right across the world ever since that time, all those thousands of years ago. Let's say it together. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. The first mention of harvest in the Bible was when Noah came out and he was thanking God for life, and God was really pleased that he was grateful for what he'd done. A terrible, terrible thing God had done there to destroy everybody. But you know, it was a warning of what was to come at the end of time. He was saying, look, you can't just carry on living as you are. You need to change. You need to move on, because you are answerable to God. And what did he say? What did God then say to Noah's family? He said, go out and from here, right across the world, and be fruitful and populate the whole world. Now, what was he talking about fruitful? Was he talking about go and grow lots of apple trees? Was he saying go and plant lots of corn? No, he was saying go and be fruitful Go and be fruitful people. Go and have lots of kids. The fruit of the womb in the Bible, yeah? We're all fruit of the womb, yeah? We all come out of our mums, so we're fruit. God wanted the people to go and populate the whole world. Even then, they didn't want to do that. Remember the Tower of Babel? They said, no, we're going to stay here. We're not going to go in the whole world. We're going to try and stay here. So they disobeyed God even then. But interestingly enough, he wanted them to be fruitful people. And I'll move on to that in a moment. But you know, who was there? Ham, Shem, and Japheth, yeah? And actually, the interesting thing is, you can trace what sorts of people came from Ham, Shem, and Japheth. They reckon Ham, looking back through the ages, the people from Africa and the Near East came from Ham. And Shem, the Middle Eastern people, the Semitic people and the Arabs, that's where they came from. And Japheth, he's our ancestor. Yeah, European people who live here. Yeah, Greek, Persians. Yeah. So different people, and it's interesting, you can trace it right back through the ages, back to these three people. And interesting, isn't it? They were fruitful. And so what was really important, and actually we discussed it over here, discussed it with Yitzhak. So we're really thankful. I'm sure some of you said this as well. We said we're really grateful for family. Yeah, family is so important, isn't it? You could have everything if you haven't got your family around you. My sister living in America, she said, at the end of my life, I want to come back and be with my family. Yeah, because family is so important. It's all a crux of the matter where it all starts and where it all ends. And if you are passing away at the end of your life, what do you want around you? You want your family around you, don't you? You want to be together because family is so important. So we were supposed to populate the world, and that was the idea. And sure enough, we have done that. They didn't talk about the population explosion in the Bible. It says, no, go and do it. Go and fill the earth with people. And that's absolutely wonderful. But also, we've got to remember about spiritual family. Same thing, talking about people, talking about family. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Yeah, what's that talking about? Is that talking about not grapes? No, of course it isn't. It's talking about fruit as a Christian. Yes, yeah? Spiritual fruit. So what sort of fruit do we produce? The fruit of the Spirit, yeah? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Yeah, and hopefully, as we abide in the Lord Jesus, that will produce other fruit. Yeah, Paul said an interesting thing. I want to come back to you because I want to have a harvest among you. If I can see it. Yeah, listen to this. In Romans, he says this. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but I've been prevented from doing so in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have among the Gentiles. He's talking about harvest. What harvest of what? Harvest of people. He wanted people to become Christians, just like the Gentiles had. He wanted them to come in to the family. Now, our families, we build our family. I say to people on the street sometimes, what's the most important thing in your life? And they go, family. My kids and my wife and my cousins and my brothers and sisters, they're the most important because they're the closest people. They're blood relatives, yeah? Blood's thicker than water and all that. You can say the opposite. You know, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. But actually, it's really great to have family, isn't it? But sadly, family don't last. They only last a few years. You know, we all know that we've all lost family, yeah? Every one of us, sometimes very young. The other day we went to Jacob's, who used to come here, Jacob's funeral, only 42, or was he 41, Jacob? Just a young lad, and he's passed away. And I've got a picture of him on my desk from the order of service. And it's, oh man, I can't believe it. When Mike told me, Jacob's passed away. But none of us are gonna last, none of us. And so whether we live till, like my mum, 90 odd, and Susan's mum, 97 now. You know, life comes to an end. We'll lose her eventually. We have to say sometimes, Mum's not going to be there forever. I've lost my mum and dad. Susan's lost her dad. You know, we've all lost different people, yeah? And it's so sad. They don't last. But there is one family that does last. The family of God. If you're in the family of God, they're never going to go anywhere. They might leave this earth before you, but then we're going to go and meet them, aren't we? And that's so wonderful about going to a Christian funeral, is we go to the Christian funeral and say, we'll see you later. I remember going to my auntie's funeral, and she was buried with her husband in the same grave. And it was very sad, of course, because I loved my Auntie June. And she was lowered down into the grave, and we stood round and said a few prayers. And you know what her son said? They said, well, let's go. She's not here anymore. Because she's there, isn't she? He said, she's not here, so let's go. Because she's not, you know, that's the body. But she's gone to be with the Lord. She loved the Lord Jesus. And she, you know, lovely to go. She was going to go and see her husband, wasn't she? She was going to go and see the Lord. And we're all going to see her together. And we're going to be together. And one day we'll be together with the Lord. Isn't that exciting? A harvest. And that leads me on to the last one. Because we have a harvest when? We have a harvest when everything is ripe. It's no good picking it when it's not ripe. We had to wait ages, didn't we, for our pears to ripen. There's still one hanging on the tree now, because it's still hard. Yeah. But when it's ripened, it'll be lovely. But if you pick it when it's not ripe, it's disgusting. Yeah? And so always amazed me when I went to Nigeria, they used to pick the oranges off the tree when they're still green. I didn't quite understand that, but they did that. And but you know, it's not quite so nice as when you do it. And nothing like ripened tomatoes on your own vine. Man, that's fantastic. They taste much better than the shop ones, don't they? Why? Because if you buy them in the shop, then you'll buy the real posh ones, you know. Like Heather does, you know, she buys posh food, don't she? And they're on the vine, aren't they? Because they're ripening on the vine, and they definitely taste better if they ripen on the vine. So if you pick them off out your greenhouse or out the garden and take it in and eat it, doesn't it taste nicer? It's fantastic, yeah? Because it's ripe, it's perfectly ripe. Bananas, you know bananas we eat, you know they don't come across ripe, don't you? They come across green, and they put gas on them. I knew a guy used to run a store, like a warehouse. Then you gas them up to make them go yellow. So you're falsely ripening. No wonder they don't taste as nice as when you go there and pick them off the tree. Then the bananas taste completely different. It's like, man, I never tasted a banana like it. That's because they're not really ripe. So nothing like that. So when it's ripe, we have it. When the apples are on the tree and they are perfectly ripe, and we pick them off and eat them, and you go, that's what an apple should taste like. Yeah, fantastic. And the corn, when it's all yellow, that's when we pick it. And of course, it's so important that we do it just at the right time. Gone. That's the head one. That's it. But in Revelation, it talks about one like the Son of Man, who came with a crown on his head, but he had a sharp sickle in his hand. I've got a sharp sickle. Do you want to see it? Here's my sharp sickle. Now, what's the difference between a sickle and a scythe? A scythe is a big thing, yeah, and you go like that and you cut hay with it, yeah. And from our friend also, I had a scythe, but he said, "What you need, Steve, is a sickle, because you know it's a sickle because remember the old communist sign, a hammer and the sickle, yeah. So that reminds you, this is a sickle, and the big one's a scythe. And the reason is, we were discussing this the other day. My mate loves tools, and he sharpened this up, and that's the reason we put this bit of rubber on the side here. He said, that is so sharp. He said, I'm really frightened if anybody touches, they'll cut themselves. So we stood in his shed and stuck this bit of cable on here to stop it being, because it's razor sharp. Because it has to be. Because when you swing your sickle like that, it's got to cut the first time. And of course, the idea must have been backbreaking work, because before the days of combine harvesters, They used to hold the corn, and you hold it in a bunch, yeah? And then you chop it like that. And then you take it up and you put it in the sheaf, yeah? So a sickle was really important. It was really important it was sharp, and they used to carry a sharpening tool in their pocket, so that every half hour they could give it a quick sharpen, yeah? So, because it's no good doing it blunt, no good doing it on that side, it's useless. You've got to do it with a sharp, it's razor sharp. But it's something to think about. That one day the Son of Man will come, that's Jesus, with a crown on his head, with a sharp sickle in his hand at the end of time. And he's saying, because it's the corn is ripe for, the corn's ripe for harvest. And that's the end of time. And the Bible says that he's going to come and cut the corn and put it in his barns. But afterwards, now this is quite worrying. Two angels come, and one of the angels has got a sickle as well. And another angel has got the fire. I'll just read what it says, quite scary. I hope I don't scare you too much. I saw one like the Son of Man coming with a sharp sickle in his hand. Then an angel came out of the temple and called out in a loud voice to him who sits on the cloud, "Take the sickle and reap, because the time for reaping has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." So he was seated on the cloud, swung his sickle, and the earth was harvested. Another angel came out of the temple of heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. And still another angel in charge of the fire came from the altar and called out with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, "Take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of grapes from the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe." And the angel swung the sickle on the earth and gathered the grapes and threw them, not into the nice place, but into the winepress of God's wrath. And they were trampled out on the city, outside the city, and the blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as the horse's bridle for a distance of 1,600 stadia. He's talking about the angel coming at the end of time and harvesting those that are for wrath. It's concerning, isn't it, when you think of that. In Matthew 13:30, what did Jesus say about that? He said, "Let them grow together. Some have planted weeds in the harvest. Let them grow together until the time, at the time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring into my barn. Because the righteous end up with eternal life." The righteous. Where am I? Am I one of the grapes? Am I one of the weeds? Doesn't that worry you sometimes? What happens if I'm not quite corn-like enough? But you know, what does the Bible say? The Bible says there's none righteous. Not even one. There's none who seeks God. No one who understands. That's a bit of a problem. That means we all start off with weeds. We've all got a problem. But you know, the Bible tells us that God did something. He did an amazing thing. He came and took the punishment for us on the cross. And that's something to be thankful for, isn't it? Because that's the mercy of God. That God says, I want you to come into my barn, but you can't do it. Because your heart is full of wickedness and sin. What did he say up here? The heart of man is always inclined to do evil. Has it got any better since that time when God flooded the world? No. It's got worse. And look what's happening. Look at the fights, the war across the world. Wars across the world. When I went to America, I realised that they had three big battles in the past. They had the war against the English to become independence, because we were near Independence Day. Then they had to have a war in the West against the Spanish. And then less than 100 years later, they had the Civil War, where they fought one another, and more people were killed in that Civil War than in the First World War. That's amazing, isn't it? Why did all those people have to die? English people, American people, Spanish people in the West, and other American people. And then they started killing one another. Why couldn't they come to some sort of agreement? The heart of man is wicked. Wants to do its own thing, wants things for its own. And you know, we all need God, don't we? And you know, it's all coming towards the end. Look what's happening in the Middle East. What does the Bible say about the Middle East? Everything will be focused on Israel. The whole world will be against Israel. It says that in the Bible. And interesting to look at, isn't it? That it's happening. And we're coming towards the end times. It's the signs of the end times. So we need to be ready, because there's going to come a time when Jesus is going to come out of the clouds and he's going to harvest. We've got to be ready. What can we do to be ready? We can receive the Lord Jesus, because he's given us his life. And we need to turn. It's an old-fashioned word, isn't it? For that, repent. It means just turn, repent. Jesus said, go and preach the gospel and tell people to repent. Change your heart towards me, because I love you so much. We know God loves us. Look what he's done for us. Look at the things he's done for us. He said, even though you're wicked and you keep getting it wrong, I'm still going to give you harvest every year. Isn't that wonderful? And not just the good people. Everybody gets it. Because he's so loving and kind. He so wants to give us life. He so wants us to be fruitful people, filling the earth. But filling the earth with his people, his love. Let's fill the earth with his love, shall we? No, let's reach out to people. We were reading this morning about when Jesus comes and says, oh, you did that for me. You know what? You helped that person there. You did that for me. But you didn't help that person there. That means you were ignoring me. Does that mean that we've got to try harder? No, it just means we've got to receive the Lord Jesus and start behaving like him. Say, Jesus, I just want to do what you want to do. You're the boss. You're wearing the crown. Come into my life. Help me to be like you. And then we'll be fruitful people. Talking about being fruitful people, you can grab some of these. I love these. It's I've got it from a German lady who was witnessing with us. All it says is at www.inyourlanguage.org. There's loads and loads of language. Some languages you've never heard of on here, but it's English as well, of course. And on there, there's the Jesus film. When you buzz on that, you can get the Jesus film. You can get Bibles in all these languages. And little explanations of how to become a Christian. It's all on that website. So grab some of them at the back there. Stick them in your bag. Because you know, sometimes you meet someone and they say, oh, I don't speak English very well. Have one of them. Yeah. All these different things. I think they're great. And if you want to, if you're feeling very modern, you can take a picture of it. And all you've got to do is show the person a picture. And they can take a picture of that and they can get a buzz on the code. It's amazing, isn't it? So that's for you. You can have that. And because God wants us to be fruitful. And he wants everybody in the whole world to know him. And he's doing it for you and me. Go out and be fruitful. And ain't God good? He's so wonderful. We've got so much to be thankful for. But the most important thing we've got to be thankful for is that we're in the family of God. Don't rejoice because we've got food. Don't rejoice because we've got a nice family. Let's rejoice that our names are written in heaven. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's what Jesus said. Okay, that's it. What are we going to do? Oh, we're going to sing. We're going to do it. We found Harvest Home the other day. It's a great song. And it talks about this. It's about three verses. And it all talks about Jesus coming at the end and doing the harvest.